Welcome to The Drabblecast, episode 496. The Drabblecast is an audio fiction podcast magazine that brings strange stories by strange authors to strange listeners, such as yourself. I'm your host, Norm Sherman. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Hope you're getting to spend some time with family. And if not, hey, here we are, your Drabble fam. Grab some bird and think of what you're thankful for. I'm obviously pretty thankful for you. Without listeners enjoying our stories and podcast, I'm just a guy talking to himself into a microphone. So thanks for not making me that. And I'm thankful for weird stories, too. I don't know where I'd be without them. Genres are meh, am I right? Weird is an umbrella we can all get under to get out of the rain. Well, we've got a weird story about family for you this week, folks. An original story by Zachary Olson called Sundays with Pop Pop. Zachary Olson's a freelance writer and composer from Phoenix, Arizona, currently residing in Chicago. Updates on his work can be found on Twitter at ObfuscatingGod and at ZacharyOlsonPresents.com. So without further ado, we bring you Sundays with Pop Pop by Zachary Olson. Pop Pop's cabin lay on unincorporated land just across the county line. Calling it a cabin is a bit of a misnomer, really. It's a mansion, an anemic, bootstrapped, sprawling one, but a mansion nonetheless. A winding gravel path welded it to State Road 336 like a taxidermied limb. Getting from the property's edge to the house itself was nearly 20 minutes on its own. The path was made of hairpin turns, the kind of place that radiated, get the fuck away. Fit the man himself, I guess. It's simple, said Pop-Pop, all sharp edges and vacuum-packed bones. He wasn't the kind of old man who got there with healthy eating and exercise. He'd gotten there with grit. Every Sunday, something comes through that hedge, and every Sunday, you're gonna kill it. He said it more than matter of fact. He said it word of God, like we were talking about watering a houseplant or feeding a dog, and not something that required the shotgun he was holding out. I still took it, of course. That way, at least, he didn't have a shotgun. Used to be, we had a horn to call him, he continued, turning away and hobbling up the garden path behind the house. Old tin thing. Sounded like a dying goose. Charlie went and broke it, and now we wait old-fashioned-like. Pop-Pop, what in the hell are you talking about? Why is Charlie in a wheelchair? That's the problem with your generation, grumbled Pop-Pop. Your ma never asked questions. She did the job and left. He snorted, hacked, spit a glob of something foul. Doesn't matter anyways. Still gotta get done. Behind the cabin stood an enormous wall of hedge. 15 feet high if I was six, thick as thieves and just as hard to see through. Crazy how you couldn't see it from the drive. I shook my head, cleared the weird thought that slithered through my inner airwaves. Even through my irritation, I couldn't deny there was something compelling about it. Something ancient. Pop-Pop chuckled, wet and wheezy. He fished a battered pack of smokes out of his cargoes and handed me a cig. I figured you would feel it. Soldiers always feel it. What is it? I never smoked. I took the coffin nail regardless. I don't rightly know, said Pop-Pop. Barbara, God rest her soul, said it was a borderline, that if anything got through, out into the world, that was it. Zip. Kaput. End of days. Ragnarok. Shit like that. The blasting of the horn. The opening of gates. A tidal wave of teeth and knives. I shook my head again. Pop-Pop tilted his. This is insane, I said. World's insane, said Pop-Pop, but at least the world's still here. And you think you're to thank? Oh, I know I am, said Pop-Pop. His rictus grinned around his cig. Never let one pass me. A wall against a wall, a rock against a hard place. I didn't bother shaking. So what? I just stand here and blast any rabbit I see? Oh, ain't gonna be no rabbits, said Pop-Pop. Can't you hear? I stopped short, halfway to a retort. I listened. It was spring in Tennessee, but the trees were full of nothing. No birds in branches, no frogs in ponds. Nothing but me, the hedge, and Pop-Pop. Clever critters keep their distance. What does that make you? Pop-Pop stubbed his smoke against the hedge's leaves. The slinky thoughts receded. Chatty this week, ain't ya? Excited for new blood? The branches rustled, heedless of the lack of wind. Pop-Pop clapped his hands. All right, you know what to do. See you when it's done. What? I jerked around to face him. I hadn't realized I'd gotten so close to the hedge. You're gonna dump all that on me and leave? Rams are at the Niners, Pop-Pop shrugged. The Corps ain't teach you independence? And so he turned around and left. The hedge rustled behind. So there I was, gun in hand, perimeter ahead, a mission I only sort of understood. Damn him, Pop-Pop was right, it was basically the core. The hedge kept rustling, I kept on having slippery thoughts. They sounded like my own voice, with just a little bit more slickness. At the time, I couldn't confidently clock them as something truly paranormal. Everybody has intrusive thoughts, right? Little bits of savage knee-jerk id. What if you swerved? What if you jumped? What if you threw your keys in the river? What if you blew the old man's head off? On and on and on. I stood there from about 9:30 when Pop-Pop walked away to 3 or 4 in the morning, scanning that nearly endless green expanse for apocalyptic harbingers, like Buckingham fucking Palace. And then, a little kid stepped out. Couldn't have been more than 11, chubby cheeks and a stupid haircut that you know his mom picked out for him. He forced his way out through the bramble, cherubic face scored by a dozen tiny cuts. He looked up at me and whimpered, "Please, sir, I'm lost. Do you know where my mama is?" A thousand thoughts cracked through my head. Was this a trick? If so, whose? Some fucked up family rite of passage? A lunatic idea. But what about the inverse, that Pop-Pop had told the truth, and I needed to kill this kid to stop the world from ending? Equally insane. My shotgun wavered in my hands. That was all it took. The hedge was crafty, but it wasn't patient. The child's face split open like a rotten pomegranate. Tendrils surged forth, sinuous and sloughing oval. They snaked around my wrists, my throat, tore the shotgun from my hands. Something wriggled in them, something dark and bulbous, crawling like molasses through a rubber hose. It poked out here and there, scratching down my arms. The tendrils flexed like razor wire, rising crimson trickles down their length. Where chubby cheeks had been a moment earlier, prismatic bubbles roiled and popped. These glistening crystal membranes didn't reflect my terror back at me. Alien landscapes wheeled within them, mirrors of another time, another place of salvation, damnation, freedom, destruction, revelry, the end of all things, the end of all. It choked, caressed me, dragged me in, drew you closer for a kiss. The little boy's esophagus, protruding like a skeeter's beak, loomed up in my vision. I knew it meant to drain me dry, to skin you like a buffalo and wear you like a suit. We're all so lonely on this side. Won't you be our friend? Won't you let us come on over? Oh, Red Rover, Red Rover. Blood's already on your hands, your Uncle Sam's attack dog. Why not lay down on our lap? Why not be our pet? It's getting pretty bad out there. Let us have a turn. The needle was a centimeter from my eye when Pop-Pop put a bullet through its head. A clean shot, right between where the eyes would be, though with a .30-06 there wouldn't have been eyes regardless. The thing that came through the hedge squealed, seethed, dissolved into ammonia. I wrenched myself away from it, landing squarely on my ass in panting disbelief. Pop-Pop stood above me, Springfield smoking in his hand. He lit a cig and puffed.
Well, maybe you'll do better next week.
And that was our story, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, consider showing your gratitude this year by joining the Drabblecast Patreon at patreon.com/drabblecast. Support your favorite podcast and weird story platform and get some neat perks in the process. Or just tell a friend, write us a review on iTunes or wherever. Spread the weird. Special thanks to our episode artist this week, Steve Lilly. Find Steve at SteveArtyPerson on Twitter. Our program this week was brought to you by Nicole Leitner, Beau Kier, Piper Lauderdale, A.R. James, Lucas Stroff, Audrey Kay, Jossie Gerwig, Wyatt Scott, Joe Beatrice, Oren Pratt, a sheep with seven eyes and a sword in its mouth, Maria Lovett, and yours truly, Norm Sherman. Reminding you, clever critters keep their distance.